Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Aubrey from the So Wizard Podcast, and you're listening to the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
Wow.
All right. We learned something new today, thanks to JD. All right.
Oh, that should be the cold open.
Okay.
Not exactly on top, but sure, why not? Sure.
Are we ready now?
Are we ever?
I don't know. How do I sound?
Like John?
I was hoping for better, but okay, fine.
You sound like Ben Affleck.
That's even worse.
Oh, all right.
I was going to say Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Getting warmer, okay.
I'm a nice guy.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people, right? You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one.
Quarter pounder with cheese and France, Mickey? What? Boy, ale with cheese. Yeah. I can totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly sacrifice that my progeny to you, a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success? Hey, everyone. You are listening to Superhero Speak. Now I'm your host, Dave.
And John.
And the technically proficient JD.
Wow.
Yes. You have made something wonderful for us. Woohoo! Now we have something to do. Hey, that means...
Like Prometheus... I came down and bestowed you with fire.
Oh, wow. Wait, this opens a lot of doors. We'll talk about it later. All right. So, so JD, other than learning new things about Skype, what did you do this week?
Well, so that's the thing. I'm just like, I learned how to record on Skype because, as I told you guys before on the show, I'm doing I'm working for Fansided now. I'm doing like wrestling, articles and reports. And I did my first interview. I interviewed a guy named Lance Archer, who's a professional wrestler in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And we did it this morning. I did it on my way to school with the 3-year-old. So I'm dropping him off for school and interviewing an international superstar at the same time, which was weird. But I learned you can record within Skype now. That's the highlight. Other than that, you know, last week was about, I did so much video editing, it was ridiculous last week.
You're just so excited about it. There's got to be something better in your life than that being the...
I got a lot of good things going in my life. Someone told me once that I get like super excited about things. And I listen to myself and I'm like, oh my God, they're right. Like my wife says that too. She's like, you're never like lukewarm to anything. Something is either completely awesome or absolutely sucks. And there's no middle ground.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'd be like, you know, honey, I'm pregnant. Yeah, but get this. You can record in Skype.
Dude, actually, that's how we felt. Not the recording in Skype thing, but like when we found out, when she told me she was pregnant, I had just come home from this tournament that I was at a couple weeks ago. And this year was phenomenal, but 4 years ago was a complete disaster. We were fostering a kid at the time, and it had just gone horribly south. I was ready to quit the school I was at. I've never been more depressed in my entire life. And I looked at Michelle and said, the only way that can make this more stressful is if you told me you were pregnant. And she looked, and this is a true story. And she looked at me and smiled and said, well, then I'll wait till tomorrow.
Oh.
That is, yes.
Wow.
Your poor wife.
Your timing is impeccable.
Oh, it's, if there's anything I'm really good at, it's horribly timed everything. It's what I bring to the table.
And how about you, dear John?
Well, I've worked my way through most of the anime that I'm set up for this season. And I just, like tonight, opened up Amazon Prime to start watching The Boys. So I guess we'll talk more about that the next time. Cause that'd be interesting to have a conversation about. I also found out that, you can write like 3 pages in one night, wake up the next morning, look at it and go, what the hell was I on? So, you know, that's the first time I've actually gone back and thought, wow, I wrote utter crap and I had to back up and erase a page or two.
Can I give you a word of advice?
Yes.
Don't do that. Never reread stuff until you're done with the draft, and then go back and rewrite. Bury yourself in rewrites, but and never get a project done.
Oh yeah, I've had so many authors tell me that. But the thing is that this was like the kind of bad where you sit down to continue it, and you're like, you can't go anywhere because it's just that bad. Like
fair enough.
Like you can't even continue the scene because you realize you've backed yourself into a corner, and it's just that horrible. So
fair enough.
Anyway, so yeah.
Do you outline? Like, do you write like outlines, or are you just kind of pantsing it? Which is like you're just kind of going along and like seeing where the story takes you.
I was pantsing it, but now that I'm serious and I'm actually putting money into this, I've started to outline. But the thing is that I have so many notes from over 40 years that I have. You know, it's not that hard for me to put an outline and. You know, the outline technically existed in my head anyway. It's mm-hmm. just the first time. It's like, you know, that thing where you walk into a room and you're so familiar with it that you never really looked at anything in particular. And now you're looking at everything in particular. You're like, well, that color doesn't go with that. And you know, this chair should be turned towards the sun, the sun coming in with the windows. And, you know, just all these little things that you start to realize. So I am putting together a plot line now.
I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Wow. Oh my God.
I got something I got a software thing I want to share with you after the show. I don't want to bury the show in writing stuff, but remind me after the show because I got something cool I think can help you.
Okay. Cool.
Excellent.
So yeah. Oh shoot. There was one thing. Hold on because I know JD how much you love those really long, anime titles.
Oh, I love them. Yeah, absolutely. I love Japanese. I love Japanese English.
So the last chapter, your favorite one was that time I got reincarnated as a slime.
Yes, love
that. I've got two new ones for you.
What's that?
Is it wrong to try and pick up girls in a dungeon?
Yes, but continue.
And if it's for my daughter, I'd even defeat a demon lord.
Goddamn, those are great. Like, I just love how the Japanese use English. Like, this tournament I'm covering for Fansided is called the G1 Climax. It doesn't mean anything, but that's just what it's called.
Yeah, well, I mean, these titles are more like literal descriptions of what's going on, except that, well, actually, not. Is it wrong to try and pick up girls in a dungeon? Is actually turning out to be a really, really good storyline. And it doesn't have anything to do with picking up girls in a dungeon.
Really. Of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. I didn't think it did. But that's again, I just love how the Japanese use English.
And the other thing is that the other one, if it's for my daughter, I'd even defeat a demon lord. I just found out that later on in the manga, and this is a spoiler for anybody's thing, but you know, whatever. They get married in the future. So it's not really his daughter.
That's weird. Now, you're saying meet and defeat or eat and defeat?
I'd even defeat a demon lord.
Even.
Oh, I'd yes. even defeat a demon.
If it's for my daughter, I'd even defeat a demon lord.
Oh, I thought you said I'd eat and defeat a demon.
No, that would be much more interesting.
Well, I mean, he's marrying his daughter, or there's like loose translation breakdown somewhere.
Well, she's not really his daughter, but there is a huge age discrepancy there, and it's, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I guess tentacles are going to be involved at some point.
Stuff that, this is when you know you're in a different, you're just experiencing a different culture.
Yes.
Very much so.
So true. So go ahead, Dave. How are you doing?
Well.
Go ahead, 10 minutes into the show, and JD and John have already derailed.
Yes. Well, to start off, people may have noticed in our feed that was released Monday. So today, as we're recording, but Monday, there was a bonus episode that popped up out of nowhere. And that is the first crossover podcast from the Geek World All-Stars. So that included yours truly, Beat 'em Down from Cult 45, Anna from the Pop Prism Power podcast, Tiffobot from Fans on Patrol. We also had Joey from So Wizard and 8-Bit Ray from the Gorilla Brain podcast. So we all got together and talked about the Phase 4 stuff for Marvel coming out. And Beat 'em Down had created the Give a Fucko meter from 1 to 5. So we'd start talking about the project, and you'd start by saying, you know, 1 through 5. 5, you were excited for the project, and 1, you're like, yeah, you couldn't care less. And it was interesting. So that's available on our feed. You can check out all those podcasts wherever podcasts are available. You guys should listen to it. And
I checked out when everybody shit on Loki.
Well.
Really?
Not checked out, but I just like, I went... I mentally checked out.
So wait, so you're excited for Loki?
Hell yeah, man. Tom Hiddleston's the man. Didn't we do this show? Like, I thought we did.
Yeah, we did.
Well, it's really been slow news-wise, so...
You're not wrong, man. Finding topics this week was a challenge.
I know, and we actually, like, Dave, you can check me on this, we've actually run out of interviews to post.
No, we haven't. Ooh. There's a couple more, but...
What? What do you mean?
We'll get to them. I'm bad. I know.
There are people waiting for those interviews to come out, dude.
You don't understand. It, like, my whole world is topsy turvy right now. Which brings me to something else I wanted to discuss. So of course we have people who contact us on social media before we talk about social media madness. And, we had an author who reached out a while ago on Twitter. Hold on, let me find his name real quick before I get this wrong and embarrass myself even more.
Not that hard. Dude,
Andrew Traynor, who is a comic book writer, and he came out with a graphic novel called Blue Fall, and it's available on Amazon. And he asked to be on the show a while ago, and we went back and forth, and then just. With everything going on in my life, I completely forgot about this. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned him on the show this week. You guys should check out his book on Amazon. And, it is the number 2 bestseller in mystery thriller suspense. It is the number 3 bestseller in, sci-fi graphic novels and the number 3 bestseller in mystery graphic novel. So.
Those are really good stats on Amazon. Those are coveted spots.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Yes. So guys, go check out his book. And Andrew, if you are listening, we are going to have you on the show very soon. You messaged me today, like right before I was coming in to record, and I'm like, crap. So we'll try to have you on next week.
So things that happen when you're job hunting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's just that whole thing of like, not having a routine yet. You know, I got the job, but I haven't started yet. So I'm not getting up in the morning and working and doing my normal routine. So it's like, soon though.
Speaking of routines.
Yeah.
Our routine usually starts with
social.
Before we make ourselves miserable. I listened to Take a Knee today, and, our show came up quite a bit. Old regular Scott had a great time, and his Uncle Oz listened to the show, our show, for the first time and was super impressed with us. He said our knowledge is off the charts and was like, man, I have to listen to this guy's show more, these guys' shows more often. So we're making fans all over the place.
Wow.
And we came up like 6 or 7 times, mainly how me and him just ruined their show. But Superhero Speak came up quite a bit. That made me proud.
I have no idea about that. I don't understand that at all.
Way to sell the show, John.
Well, hey, I've been doing it, dude. We've been doing this over 5 years, right? Like you almost have 6 been. Now. Yeah, I mean, you get to a point where you're just like, am I doing this for the fame and fortune and the women? And then you realize you've got none of those. You're like, eh, I'll just keep doing it anyway. I don't really think about like that stuff, you know.
The podcast groupies.
Oh, they're so great. Oh, they're wonderful. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, just a hint, I am single. So that was horrible. Okay.
All right. So now
– bring on the pain.
Okay. So now we'll talk social –
I thought saying I was single was the pain.
Social media madness here. And the first thing is we had talked about, of course, Black Adam not that long ago. And let me hold this up so I can face the mic and read at the same time. Hancock of Avalon, MS on Twitter said, to be fair, Black Adam has been all over the place, which is basically what JD said on the show.
All over the place being awesome.
And Rich said his ego can't let him be the villain because in the end, the villains lose and he can't be seen losing. It will ruin his image.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, considering a man who was a professional wrestler. They lose. Like, especially The Rock. The Rock got famous losing to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, The Rock became famous being like the best villain ever in 20 years ago. The man can be a villain. The man was a villain in Doom. Like,
yeah.
I don't know where this comes from.
Doom doesn't count. Doom.
No, it doesn't. But I mean, he played a villain in a crap movie. Like, Rock don't say no a lot. We'll just put it that way. But, like, no. It ruined his image. He's a wrestler.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah, you're right. Hello?
I am right. I like that. My favorite sentence in the English language.
Marshella Ali, we talked about him being cast, of course, as Blade. And House of D replied, I will always be partial to Snipes since he was part of the original trilogy. The original Blade movies started the trend of taking comic movies seriously. It was the first DVD I ever bought from my $2,000 DVD player. Wow. With all this said, I support this. Dude is a good actor.
Did it fly? That DVD player, did it fly? Could it transport you to other planets?
Well, you know what? When they first came out, and like if you went to buy them in the 90s, they were expensive.
Can we be real? Can we be real for a minute?
Yeah,
sure.
Blade One is a good movie. Blade Two, Guillermo del Toro, great movie. Blade Three is dog ass.
The one with Ryan Reynolds?
Yes. Terrible. Really bad. Speaking of wrestlers, Triple H is in that movie, and he's terrible in it.
Yeah, but I mean, in its defense, it did have Jessica Biel in it, so.
And she was bad. She looked nice, but she was bad.
Yeah, she can do better.
She has, to be fair. She's pretty, but she's also a pretty good actress, just not in that movie.
Yeah, but Ryan Reynolds was playing basically Ryan Reynolds.
doing his Ryan Reynolds thing.
I mean, playing Deadpool. I mean, he's always been Deadpool. Like, you know, so.
Which is why he's great as Deadpool.
Yeah.
This is an actual honest fan reaction to the show, by the way.
Oh, Lord.
So we had talked about – John and I went off on a tangent last week about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And Mark
– Which is apropos for talking about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, right? I mean
– Yeah.
Obviously, neither one of us had a towel at that point.
No, we did not. But Mark V said, Chaps, Hitchhiker's Guide. The radio version is the best starting point. Now, I've never heard the radio version before.
I've heard an episode of that, And he is correct. And I completely forgot about that. And my apologies.
Well, I think that's because we're Americans. And just based on the fact that he starts with chaps, I'm going to guess this guy's from the UK.
Right.
Radio drama is still big over there. Like, they're still doing past Doctor Who's.
Yep.
Yeah. This is very true. So
I'll take his word for it.
I will take his word for it, too.
They even animated an episode of, was it, the second Doctor for the American audience.
They did.
Yeah, you know, of a radio episode. So, yeah, he's right. The radio show was, I mean, it was like, it was hysterical.
All right. Well, then I will definitely go check that out. Thank you, Mark V. And then finally, we have talked about the Avengers Endgame writers said they feel the X-Men should be taking time off before they're brought back into the movies. And House of D again said, no, I do not agree. As far as I'm concerned, the real X-Men haven't ever been in a movie. We need at least a little taste. I understand if we don't see a full-blown X-Men movie until 5 years from now, but we need a taste at least. Give us an Xavier or Magneto movie at least.
Or show like Wolverine fighting in the background of a scene or something. You know, just something.
We've got a couple. We got an Xavier Magneto movie that was pretty good. Was pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the differences.
What are the real X-Men? Like, there's so many, even in the comic, there's so many different versions of that. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before. They've been reinvented so many times. There are definitely characters whose personalities have changed over the years. And it is a weird book. So who are
always has been.
If they wanted to, they could introduce the X-Men, and then you could have either a real Dark Phoenix arc, which turns out to be the big bad for like Avengers 6, or you could do Scarlet Witch, House of M. And like at that point, she's got reality altering power.
So we theorized the flip of that when I did my guest on Take a Knee, that actually Scott wondered if Scarlet Witch would speak them into existence. So instead of being no more mutants, it'd be a whole lot of mutants.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that's true. Because if I remember, at the height of her power, she wasn't just affecting like that universe. She was affecting the multiverse. So she could easily do that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I theorized in that crossover podcast. I don't think I've really mentioned it. I think I've mentioned this on the show. WandaVision is going to be their version of House of M. That she altered reality, brought Vision, quote unquote, back to life, and created her own world where the world's still like the 50s.
Yeah, it's going to be like pleasant for superheroes.
Exactly.
I was hoping for a mutant buddy cop movie or series. I mean, that's what it sounds like. It's WandaVision, you know. One dresses in red, the other is the others are androids. See what they do on the road.
That's Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, we're getting our buddy cop.
I don't know, because you can get a lot of comedic value out of a straight man as good as a Vision.
Possibly, better straight man is Drax the Destroyer. I think
that is true. The greatest straight man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for social media madness this week.
We got off light this week.
Yes. So on that note, boys and girls, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we will be right back after these short messages.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Now it is time for the news. man, what a lousy week for news it is. I mean, there's a couple good stories in here, but not much. Marvel has said that, who was it that released this news? I don't remember. That Spidey will be found dead in the comics.
Tom Taylor.
Yeah, that's what it, yeah, Tom Taylor. He tweeted this out. He said, now that Spider-Man Day is done, I can let you know he'll be found dead. And it's obviously it's a publicity stunt. They're not killing off Spider-Man. It's Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 12, I think they said, that he'll be found dead in. They did this not that long ago with Lois Lane in Superman. Yes.
The dead thing's getting a little bit old.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like an actual dead thing. It's going to be like a, I don't know. I think he's playing it because like Tom Taylor's the guy who wrote Injustice.
Mm-hmm.
So his brand is the death of superheroes. So I think he's just having fun with what he does. And it looks like it's just going to be a Mary Jane issue, which I'm okay with. I don't know if she's actually going to be Spider-Man in that book. I just like having Mary Jane back.
Yes, but what version of Mary Jane are we getting?
The current version of Mary Jane. Not the non-wife version, but like the former girlfriend who might be a girlfriend again. I don't know. That's better than nothing.
Yeah. Speaking of nothing, I mean, better than nothing, there will be a Black Widow prequel comic coming out before the movie.
Yeah, when I shared this, I thought Peter David was actually writing the movie. So, this is on me.
So this will be written by Peter David, the comic. Are we excited for this? Is this even needed at this point? I mean,
I don't know.
Do we need a prequel to a prequel?
True, but it is Peter David.
Yeah,
he's got a that guy's got a. We met him, didn't we, Dave? He was at one of the Great Valley Comic Con.
Great Valley Comic Con. Yeah, we interviewed him. We had a nice conversation with him.
2 years ago, right?
Yes.
Or 3 years ago. Yeah.
I mean, he's a great writer. I love his stuff, but it's like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, he's not writing the movie. I don't know. Has he ever written any television or movies since Babylon 5?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Did Peter David write for Babylon 5 too?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
So, yeah, that's so it's a prequel comic. My question is like, does anyone read them? They've been doing this a lot lately.
Someone must be. If they wouldn't keep printing them if no one read them.
True.
And it's not a throwaway because they hired Peter David to write it.
True. Yeah, I don't know.
I'd say people are going to read it. You're going to get both people that want to see a prequel intro to the prequel, and you're going to also get Peter David's fan base. So you're pretty much guaranteed. So it's a good move.
I got a good script review from Peter David about 10 years ago for my book Deluge. It was really cool.
Why aren't you rich now?
Because no one bought it. It won a few awards, but that didn't translate into dollars.
Ah, winning awards. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
So
unfortunately, that's what we do with our best offers. Best authors. Here's an award, and good luck on finding food.
I mean, that's a question I have for the audience, though. Like, is anyone reading these prequel comics that they've been putting out? If so, let us know. And are they worth picking up? So speaking of comics and speaking of the devil, apparently, Marvel's confirming big plans for Mephisto. They have a trade paperback coming out in December, of a bunch of Mephisto stories. And, it looks like they have plans for him. Now, when they've done this before, they've introduced these characters into the MCU. So I'm not sure where they're going with this. Can the MCU handle a character like Mephisto?
Yeah. Well, why not? They have Doctor Strange.
Yeah, basically. and Wanda they're introducing more and more characters that have that level of power. So.
Well, and we're getting a Hellstrom, Son of Satan TV show on Hulu.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's part of the official universe, right?
Right, yeah. They're going to be – these are going to be the shows that are a little too dirty for Disney+. But they're aligned with – I think we talked about this last week, but Disney Plus is actually going to be like an extension of Hulu for people that already have Hulu.
Right.
Just to show how like in simpatico they are. But if you guys remember when I first did the show when I was a guest, I said my dream project was the Son of Satan. So there's one guy who is like super fired up about this.
More excited than the birth of your son?
No.
Oh, okay. Good.
Different kind of devil.
That's the whole thing, right? Because, like, Mephisto is, like, the MCU's devil or Satan or...
Not really. Because the one below all is the actual Satan, supposedly.
Well, that's the thing. Kind of. Marvel, it's kind of been, like, there are various devils. There are various versions. Like, there's hell. And I think that's what this King of Hell thing is that there's like, hell is divided. And, like, there is no true, like, one devil, but a lot of people who claim the devil. Like, even the son of Satan isn't really the son of Satan. He's a son of a demon who calls himself Satan, but probably isn't actually Satan. Well, Mephisto isn't actually Satan either, but a lot of them aspire to be Satan.
Yeah, it's not like the DC Universe where they actually have brought in the Christian heaven and hell pantheon into the universe. Wasn't there some kind of crossover where it was like the different aspects of evil or whatever, or
they did that in DC. Devil.
No. This was in Marvel. I thought at one point it was like I thought Hela met Mephisto or
could be
and Lady Death. Like at some point they were together somehow. I forget. Damn it.
Might have been, but like Mephisto. I mean, like they said, there's a bunch of devils. So, I mean, like, they could be doing a war for hell kind of thing. And Mephisto, mm-hmm. when used properly, can be pretty cool. When used improperly, he's making trades for a marriage that make no sense.
Yes.
For reasons.
And that's the reason I don't want the character brought in. Okay?
Every character is a bad story here and there.
too metaphysical? What? I mean...
No, he's the... In the One More Day storyline, he's the representation of the devil that... trades Aunt May's life for the marriage, to erase the marriage from existence, Peter and Mary Jean's marriage.
Day of sex marriage. See, I actually was a defender of this story for a long time because I thought it could be a springboard to something cool. They never sprung. They just used it to be like, oh, we did it. It's done.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty shitty.
All right. So this next story, JD sent me, I included it, and then I saw a headline, after I included in the email that confirms what Tom Hardy did is true. So, Tom Hardy jumped the gun on revealing who's directing Venom 2. He had posted a picture of Andy Serkis on his Instagram and then deleted it shortly after that. But it has come out that Andy Serkis is directing Venom 2.
I still have no interest in Venom 2. But good for Andy Serkis.
None at all?
So Gollum is going to direct Venom 2?
Is this his first directing gig?
I don't know.
Oh, look at us being all prepared.
I mean, I think he's directed a lot of the mocap stuff in a lot of the movies he's been in.
Yeah.
But hang on. It's a race. Who can get to IMDb first? Andy.
Circus.
Venom 2, Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle, The Ruins of Empires, and Breathe. Those are his four directors.
Okay.
I know nothing of that.
Yeah. And Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle was not really...
Is that a direct-to-video?
No.
Netflix.
Oh, yeah,
direct-to-video. That's what it says. The poster is a big Netflix thing. I don't think it's a sequel to the Jon Favreau Jungle Book.
Okay. It was done in 2018, though.
I mean, it kind of makes... So probably it's either out or... So it's out on Netflix. It looks like it's a Netflix original. I don't know if there's a lot of, which I guess is the point, it's going to be Venom versus Carnage. So I bet there's going to be a ton of mocap stuff done. Right. So that makes sense. That guy. I mean, he's probably the most experienced mocap like actor in Hollywood. So
yeah.
I don't know. I make sure. Why not? I mean, every actor wants to direct.
There is no way they can do Carnage without rated R.
That's probably going to be rated R.
It better be, because they whiffed on the last one.
I mean, was it Venom? What was Venom rated?
Venom was like PG-13.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because they had, I think they had actually done all of the graphics and everything for him biting people's heads off, and then they just took it out.
So they got a steer in it. They got Woody Harrelson playing old, what's his name? Cletus Cassidy. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's interesting casting.
Interesting. That's the word.
Hold on. Woody Harrelson can play a psychotic person very well. Need I point you back to Natural Born Killers?
Oh, no. You don't have to. He's kind of I mean, you know the history of him, right? Like,
his dad is legitimately an evil person, right?
Yeah, and so was his, like, grandmother, and so was, like, his grandmother killed his dog, so he killed his grandmother, and then his father tried to kill him. His whole family was screwed up.
Yeah.
So,
I think it's pretty good casting.
But you've seen the after credit scene of Venom, right, with him in it?
New director, man. Everything's new.
Mm-hmm. And that horrible wig they had on him, it was like, really?
Be a better wig next time.
I don't know, man. I just don't know. All right.
It's Sony. They'll find a way to screw it up, but, you know.
All right. So, our next story is kind of interesting when you read something like this. So we all know they killed off the Netflix shows. They've disavowed all knowledge of them. But Mike Coulter has come out and said he's not done with the character of Luke Cage yet.
Well, he says he's open to it. I mean,
yeah, he's open to it. He wants to try to explore the character more. Basically,
maybe finish off the cliffhanger where
exactly.
He was evil.
He wants to finish off the story that where they ended from season two. Of course, you know, it's up to Disney now and Marvel if they want to continue and bring him in. But then, how do you do that without bringing in the rest of those characters with those actors, you know?
You just ignore it. You don't bring in the rest of the actors. You just bring in Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Or just bring in Daredevil. Or, you know, pretend they never did an Iron Fist. Treat him like you treat, what's his name? Edgar Norton. Edward Norton.
Poor Edward Norton.
Did I call him Edward? Did I call him Edgar? What the heck is with
yes. Edgar? You did. I ignored it.
Thank you. Jeepers, creepers. What is
it? Was that a Men in Black crossover reference? I mean...
Oh my God, Edgar. The Edgar suit.
Yes.
So, yes. So, I mean, I was a huge fan of the show. I'm a huge supporter of that casting. He was in that role. I'm behind him 100%, but who knows? Can we start a petition to get Marvel to at least bring him in?
Oh, because those petitions have worked real well.
At least, well, they've worked before, but just not with Marvel. I don't think anybody's ever gotten Marvel or Disney to do anything they didn't want to do.
We did get James Gunn his job back. I don't know if the petitions did anything for that so much as Dave Bautista just scaring them.
Yeah, Dave Bautista. Well, yeah, bless him.
Well, Dave Bautista should scare them to get them to bring Mike Coulter on board then, too.
He's too busy hunting for the spice in Dune right now.
Oh, man.
But do you think that's going to be good, or is it going to? We have nothing to talk about really tonight. Like, is that going to be good, or is that going to suck?
I don't know. I'm actually a fan of the original with Picard in it.
Even David Lynch doesn't like that movie.
I know, but I mean, well, it was the first one I saw. I actually saw that before I read the books.
Fair enough.
But you know, it was stylistic. That's all I can say.
Stylistic.
Yeah.
That's code for. It looked pretty, but there was no substance to it.
Well, no, there was some substance to it too. I think, I mean, personally, I can't attest to this because I just don't do that kind of thing, but, you would probably be really interesting if you were high.
High enough.
There you go. Are you high enough?
Well, it's so funny because David Lynch movies, if there's anything they have is like substance, like you don't know what the substance is, but there's substance.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, I mean, I thought it was fine. So, you know, and there was a second one too. And I remember watching most of that, but there's the thing.
I've seen that one, the Sci-Fi Channel one, right?
Right. But there's the thing. I don't remember most of that, but I remember the movie.
It's the guy that made, the new Blade Runner movie. So it's going to look awesome.
True. But again,
I don't know. Yeah.
Are you going to care about the story at all?
I have no idea. I don't know. I really don't. Did you guys read Dune?
Yeah, I did.
Did?
There's a bunch of books I didn't get to.
No, I've seen the original movie, but I've never read the books. So speaking of characters who want to continue their roles with Marvel, and I forgot to include the article with this, Kat Denning has come out and said she wants to be involved with Thor Love and Thunder. So
okay.
You pretty much don't need an article.
What?
Pretty much don't need an article with that. That says it all.
Personally, I have no problem with her character if they do the storyline in such a way as they're not doing this cartoon slapstick stuff. But I, from everything I've heard, nobody else seems to like her.
Why not?
I can see that.
How can you not like Kat Denning?
I don't know. That's just the thing. Like, I mean, every time I mentioned it in conversation with other people, they were like, oh God, please not her. And it's like, well, but why? I mean, you know, she's entertaining as long as the writing is good. It's just that during Dark World, they basically like made her like the comic relief. They kept flipping back to her. It had nothing to do with the story. It was literally just, you know, almost anime like filter.
Dark World should have been a lot better than it was. I mean, like, at the time, I thought it was fine in retrospect. Like, fine. I think it's fine. But in retrospect, it really is one of the weakest of the Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like, yeah, like, they just didn't quite have it. Like, Christopher Eccleston has said, like, he was just kind of, oh, you know, I want a boat, so I'll make this movie. You know? I don't know, man. Like, they found such a good – they don't need her to play the comic relief because Thor can handle that and still be Thor. Like, we found out how damn funny Chris Hemsworth is. So I don't know how necessary Kat Dennings is in another Thor movie.
Yeah.
Well, she's hotter than Natalie Portman.
You're wrong.
Yeah, whoa, dude.
You are. I've never said that on the show before, Dave. But you are wrong.
I'm backing JD up on that. That's like, dude, you just lost 10 geek points there.
No, not at all. Sorry. Nope.
Oh. This sounds like there's going to be a brawl.
Tendering my resignation, sir.
I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, there must be something over at Marvel that, you know, people don't want to walk away from it. Must be a good company to work for.
It's called money.
Oh,
yes, I was going to say a good company in that they pay well.
Can you imagine, like, if you're in all those sweet SAG checks that keep coming?
Damn.
Like, if you're in Infinity War, like, that thing's going to be played forever, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to be small checks.
Mm-hmm. That's going to pay well for a long time.
Yeah, that is true.
So is the next story the biggest story of the week? Because I think it might be.
Yeah, there's two parts of this story that I think are the biggest stories of the week. And it's all the DC news really worth talking about. Of course, we're talking...
They're doing something right. I'm so excited.
So rare.
We're talking about the crossover, of course, the Crisis on Infinite Earths version on the Arrowverse. And there are two parts of this story that I wanted to talk about. The first one being that Marv Wolfman is coming in and he's going to be writing the Arrow episode for this crossover. Like,
that's awesome.
They're actually going to let one of the comic book writers write something on the TV.
Dave, he's the comic book writer. He wrote Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I know.
Like, this is it. It's probably a bone they're throwing the guy, but it's a great bone.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it's a bone to us too. I mean, you know, we get the benefit.
Yeah, he's also double dipping because Crisis on Infinite Earths is his story, so he gets a check for that, and then he's going to write an episode and get a check for that. So good on Marv Wolfman. He's killing it financially in this situation.
Yes. Yes. Good for him. And I think he, you know, it's, again, he's a good writer. He deserves it. And I think they really should do that more, over there. And then, of course, the other thing is, there's some actor named Kevin something or other.
Who's that again? I don't know.
Kevin Conroy will be playing Bruce Wayne, in this crossover. They haven't said anything more, like which Earth he's from or anything. I'm kind of wondering, is Burt Ward playing the Robin to his Batman?
I don't know if that makes sense. I think that's probably older than Kevin Conroy.
I don't know that they're going to make him Robin. I don't even know. I mean, Burt Ward's been a good sport about it, but I don't think he's going to play Robin. He's probably just, you know, cameoing maybe.
So here's my question. Is Kevin Conroy going to play the Bruce Wayne in a Terry McGinnis backdoor?
Oh, God, that would be fucking awesome. Damn. You know, to extend the Greek mythos comment that you brought in, JD, at the beginning with Prometheus, I'm going to say this feels like Sisyphus, right? Oh my God! And I was really good at that. Sisyphus like saw the move the boulder up to the top of the mountain, took one look at it, stood aside, and now this boulder is just rolling downhill, gaining speed, gaining momentum, and it just seems like a lot of people want to be involved with this now.
I'll second that.
That's not where I thought you were going to go with that analogy, but it actually worked.
I think I will say, like, they're pretty good at, you know, at least the DC television stuff, bringing in older actors and letting them cameo and be involved with things. Here's an interesting one, an interesting thought. So when we recently interviewed Kevin Conroy, one of the questions, you know, one of the things I pointed out and talked about is, he's probably the most well-known actor, one of the, you know, who played the role. Yet, since he's just the voice, he's never actually worn the costume. Do you think he wears the costume in this?
No, I don't.
Doubt it. No. It would be interesting, but no.
Okay. Because
I'm hoping that through all of the craziness, they like bring William Cat back to life. And we get a brief American hero. Yeah.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
They killed him in the Nazi wedding crossover.
Yes, they did.
That's awesome. Not that the Nazis killed him, but that they brought him in. No, I thought. What if they do the Kingdom Come Batman with Kevin Conroy? Because he's kind of older and frail looking. Like, I think he might look ridiculous in an actual bat suit, but in a robot bat suit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, man. Jeez.
This is awesome.
Yeah, like, yeah. Are you guys caught up with all of the series?
No, God, no. I'm like 4 years behind.
No, I'm 1 year behind, but I did watch the crossover last year, because that's the main thing, is I watched the crossovers, and I watched a good chunk of Arrow from last season. But, yeah, my son keeps yelling at me, because he's like, you know they're coming back on soon. You got to at least watch Flash. So, and he waits till they're on Netflix, and then he just binges them. So, you know, yeah, he's yelling at me because I haven't watched them yet.
It's the best way to consume anything.
Well, I'm only 5 episodes behind. I've got to finish them off before this new season starts. I didn't see the end of Arrow, and I know that's got one of the bigger reveals.
Yeah.
But this whole thing is just, and now it's saying that they're bringing Black Lightning into the DC universe. That's just like, I mean,
gotta get those ratings up, man.
I know, but this is just candy. And Black Lightning is one of the best out of all of them, really.
Yes,
it's one of the best written.
Yeah, I'll agree to that.
So, you know, this is, I mean, as a geek, you're just sitting there going, "Holy crap!" You're gonna have Supergirl, Batwoman, The Flash, Arrow, what, 5 different Supermen, Black Lightning, I mean, you know, Kevin Conroy. How can you not want to see this? There's just no way.
I even want to see, I mean, like, I haven't watched those shows in a long time, but because it's Crisis on Infinite Earths, because of all this, I think I'm going to have to watch it.
Aha. So the hype is working.
It is. It's, honestly, it's totally working. And I'm cynical when it comes to these things.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll bring back the Flash. Oh shoot, what's his name? Why did my brain just go? You know,
Jake Eric?
Yeah, Jake Eric. Or no, Flash from the universe that we saw in the last crossover.
And Flash, which one? John Fox?
Yeah, from the '90s. What's his name?
John, what's the ship?
John Wesley Shipp. Yeah, your friend, your friend. Right. So, yeah, it was, I'm wondering if they'll bring him back in but just also, for another cameo.
I don't know, because he also plays the Jay Garrick Flash, so.
Yeah, so they could have play two. I'll take two paychecks, please.
Oh, he would do it. He would also not talk to me about it on the show.
So. No, no, of course not, because apparently he really doesn't like you.
Every time I bring up the subject, he stops returning, like, text messages.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why. I don't know. And he doesn't listen, clearly, so it's not like I'm burying my friend, but he's just not interested in doing a podcast. And I don't know why, because we would just praise him up and down.
Yes.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe we should tell him that we'll roast him.
Have you told him some of the other people we've interviewed? Like,
I never even get that far.
But we didn't roast them.
No.
So we roasted that one guy that one time.
Yeah. I thought that was after we turned off the mics. Okay.
Yeah, no, he's just, I don't know, man. Every time I try, just like, hey, man, would you be interested? Nothing. Like, not a thing. Hmm. I don't know why. I guess, but to be fair, he doesn't do anybody else's either. So it might just be a thing where he's just not interested in doing interviews and stuff like that.
Well, that's fair. I mean, you know, that's fair.
I wonder if he did a real bad interview once and it just soured him on it.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe he just disappointed me that I kind of let my independent film career die.
Ah.
It needed to die, quite frankly.
There you go. Tell him if he does it, you'll do an independent film with him.
Screw you.
See, now that's the kind of attitude that might get him on here.
Got him hired. I don't know, man. Like I said, it disappoints me, but at the same time, he's a super nice guy, and I'm really happy that he's found success again, you know, doing these characters again, you know? So, I know you're not listening, John, but I appreciate you.
All right. Well, let's move on to other news, because we don't have anything else for DC. So Nickelodeon is going to have a Star Trek cartoon. And it's a completely new concept.
And just like that, you lost me.
And it's the idea is it's a group of teenagers who find a derelict starship and take it and go on adventures in outer space.
Yep.
And to be quite honest with you, I am way more excited about this idea than I am about watching Picard.
So I remember watching Nickelodeon specifically when I was a kid in the 80s, and they would do reruns of the old Star Trek cartoon show. I'm guessing it was probably from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where, now I'm going to set this trap and walk away. Where does that show fall in the continuity scale?
It doesn't.
Okay.
No, it counts. It's canon.
No, it's not canon.
It is canon. It was produced by
thanks, JD.
It was produced by Desilu Studios, and it was all of the voice cast from the TV show.
The Master of Puppets works again. Canon. Dance puppets.
It is considered canon. All of those cartoons are considered canon.
So would this be a new continuity, an old continuity, a separate continuity?
It can't. It have to be a separate, because they had stuff like those belts that would instantly give them space, the membrane spacesuit thing, and that never showed up on any other of the shows. So I mean, there was stuff that they introduced in that I remember that just had no bearing on the real shows whatsoever.
Anyway,
what do you think? Okay, what do you think, man? Are we positive or negative on this new cartoon?
Well, I'm kind of. I don't know. I'd have to see it. But just to let you know, because, you know, I am the research guy here. This is leaving a bad taste in my mouth. Apparently, it was canon for the first 15 years after it aired, and then it was decanonized by Roddenberry after the first season of Star Trek The Next Generation.
That is such a DC move, it's ridiculous.
I know. It is. But again, it couldn't. It didn't fit. It didn't fit in the show anyway, because they introduced technology that was never shown on the show or the movies.
So the show, like, the new show, is being produced by Kevin and Dan Hegman, who, of course, we all know, gave us the Lego Movie.
Oh yeah.
Well, as long as it's Lego Movie and not the Lego Movie 2, because that didn't do so well.
No, it was the Lego Movie. They also did Trolls.
Trolls?
Oh, sorry,
You're talking about the cartoon, not the movie.
Yes.
Oh, Troll 2 is like the worst horror movie ever made. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, no. The cartoon movie with, like, what's his face?
Oh, my God.
I can't think of the actor. It's a singer who's, like, one of the. Yeah, no. I only know
Elton
of.
John.
I only know of Trolls because my niece's daughter watches it all the time.
Oh.
So, yes.
Okay. All right. So, I don't know. I'm willing to try anything once. Well, I'll probably catch this.
That's how you ended up on this show.
No,
I ended up on the show.
That was you saying, John, come to the conference room. We need to talk about something, and then locking the door when I walked in.
So yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like the idea. It's it's funny because a lot of fans, I want to say, when Deep Space Nine was ending and we knew that Voyager was going to come to an end, a lot of fans wanted them to do a Starfleet Academy show. Like, have a young crew and have, like different students you can follow around, and you can move the cast in and out by having people graduate and whatnot. And
they already had something like that. It's called Jace of Star Command, also from the 70s.
But anyway... but no, they ended up giving us Enterprise, which another show that spit in the face of canon. And then at the end, it was like, it didn't count any. It was all holographic simulation. So that's why I'm kind of interested in this, you know, like kids taking over a starship. And yeah, you can say it's side canon. It doesn't affect anything going on in the main Star Trek universe at all. It doesn't matter what time frame it takes place in either, you know, because it's just a totally separate story.
Unless somebody does a snap and then they have to decanonize it because they don't want to use that.
So, I mean, I think it's a good idea. I think it gives them a lot of freedom for a cartoon. You know, that's another problem too. When they make cartoons based on movies and like you go and watch the next movie in the series and nothing that happened in the cartoon affects what happens in the movie.
Yeah. But I mean, it's Nickelodeon. And the premise sounds like it's just going to be one of those fantasy adventures, has nothing really to do with the actual, you know, TV shows or anything. Because, right. Come on, the premise, prima facie, the premise is kind of off its rocker. Yeah, a couple of kids find a starship. Okay. And they know how to operate it. How? I mean, you know, unless they go dark with it, which they're not because it's Nickelodeon. You know, it's not gonna really. It's gonna be a really basic kids show, not like grown up kids.
There are plenty of episodes of The Next Generation that proved you could just tell the computer to do stuff and it would fly the ship, basically. So, yeah, I could believe a bunch of kids could figure it out. Hey, kids figure out how to use technology before I do anymore. My kids, you know.
Dude, my 3-year-old can operate an iPad that makes my wife infuriated, but he's really good at it. So on the subject of cartoons, and you mentioned something before me think of this. You talked about cartoons that like existed between sequels and had no bearing whatsoever, and my brain immediately went to Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 80s
again. So yesterday, like this weekend, Andy and I are playing in the basement, and we like to do like superhero songs. And I started singing Ghostbusters just off the top of my head. He didn't know what that was. So, of course, we had to watch the Ghostbusters, like the original music video, and he thought it was awesome. And then he says, is there a – and he asks if there's a Ghostbusters cartoon. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, like, he loves – he doesn't really watch a lot of TV. He's only 3. But what he loves to do is he loves to watch, like, the introductions to old shows, like the minute-long, like, intro piece. He thinks they're – loves them. So I put the Ghostbusters one on for him. And he lost his mind. He thought it was so cool. So like on a whim, I went onto Amazon Prime and I downloaded one episode of the 1986 Ghostbusters show, the real Ghostbusters. And I remembered this one in particular that it was about the boogeyman. And I remember that ABC showed it in prime time. And my mom let me watch it. I remembered it being legitimately scary, but I was also 6. So on a whim, Michelle and I decided, hey, let's just watch one, see how these, if it's any decent. She's like, let's buy the whole season. I'm like, nah, I don't know, man. It's $20. Like, if it sucks, then we're never going to watch it. Let's just watch one episode and see if it's any decent. It was $2 an episode. Dude, it was so good. for a 1980s Saturday morning cartoon show, the writing was fantastic.
Well, you know who was in charge of that?
J. Michael Straczynski was the showrunner, and I remember reading that because he wrote my college. When I was in college, he wrote the textbook that we used, and so I've always been a fan of his work just because of that. And I could not believe how well this show has aged. Yeah. And I was right. This boogeyman was legitimately freaky. And like, and again, Andy wasn't scared. He's like, boogeyman's not real. Like, like my 3-year-old like reconciled this in his little brain so quick. I was so proud of him. But like, it was so good. Like, it's astounding and how good. And now I'm not going to watch past that season one because I remember as a kid thinking, boy, this show's gotten stupid.
Well, there is actually a documentary about that where they interview J. Michael Straczynski and other people from the cast about how the studio kept injecting more and more stupidity. Basically, for some reason, they hired another company to come in and tell J. Michael Straczynski what he should put into the show to make kids like it more. And it was stupid stuff like, okay, now our focus is these kids that are helping the Ghostbusters. And they got rid of, what's her face?
Janine.
Well, they made her into a different Janine, basically, not the real, not the right Janine, the real one with the, you know, irascible, sarcastic personality, but they made her a nice Janine. And literally, I think one of the last things that Straczynski did was he wrote an episode where he explained why there were two Janines, just to get back at him, I think.
So it's funny you mention that because like I got down the rabbit hole of these YouTube things, and the pilot for The Real Ghostbusters is just a music video for the animated music video to the original song.
Mm-hmm.
And in that and you could tell they recycled a lot of this thing into the intro piece of the first season. The differences were like the suits were the same color as they were in the movie, not the multiple colors, which made sense. You want to sell toys, you want them as different looking as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And Slimer was closer to the Slimer of the movie, more so.
Yep.
Than the what he became in the cartoon, so I can see that being a student. Oh, we need someone that the little kids will like, which I'll tell you, my little boy loves Slimer, like just from looking at that intro, he's like Slimer is awesome. So they knew what they were doing, and I get why those notes came from it. But that show was so good, like, and I couldn't believe how well, because you watch cartoons, like I watch a lot of stuff from the 80s, like on a whim with my wife. And, like, it sucks. Like, He-Man and She-Ra, those shows are just terrible.
Oh no, yeah. They're
terrible.
Just when he changes it, it's awesome. And then the dialogue is just really basic kid stuff. But there were, for The Real Ghostbusters, there were two animation series that were doing it. So you can tell the good one was doing it because the animation looks amazing. And it was done the way they did Batman the Animated Series. They started with a black background and then built on top of it.
Okay.
That's why.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's why some of the episodes look so freaking good.
Yeah. That makes complete sense. Because it did. Like, I was watching the animation style and I'm like, man, this looks so different than anything else that was on TV in the mid 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I mean, people are like, why are we talking about a 30-year-old cartoon? Because it was freaking awesome. Dude.
Yeah.
You want to you face this person that could be listening to the show but might not be. Like,
anymore.
Yeah, anymore. But I was amazed at how well and how much, quite frankly, better it was than Ghostbusters 2.
Well,
exactly. Some of those episodes blew it out of the water.
Well, you really want to take it down a rabbit hole here. Why did they make that other Ghostbusters cartoon, which was based on that 1975 television show called Ghostbusters?
It was a licensing issue.
Yeah, the Let's Go Ghostbusters. Yeah,
the one with the monkey.
The one with the monkey.
Yes,
because that was the original Ghostbusters. I actually went down. Yeah, that was Dan Aykroyd had to license that word because there already was a movie called Ghostbusters, and when that movie came out, the Filmation sure jumped on that to crank out a cartoon real fast.
Yeah, but it was so funny because it was like I remember as a kid, like. What the heck is this? This isn't Ghostbusters. Where are the proton
Slimer,
packs?
Slimer, you look hairy now.
And I remember they kind of did a play on that with the real Ghostbusters. The first the pilot episode, the actual first episode, is they have to do battle with a group of guys who are trying to, you know, siphon off their name, who aren't, and they had to be like, no, we're the real Ghostbusters.
Oh my god, I remember that.
It's very much a wink and a nod to, okay, man, they may have come first. Like, this show might have the original stuff, but ours is like the one you know and love.
Right.
It was really good. Like, if anyone's looking for, like, if anyone digs, like, old animation, is looking for something to watch, man, the original Ghostbusters, like, at least that first season, there's some real gems that are pretty good, even by today's standards.
Yeah.
It's still kids-based, you know? Like, you're not going to see blood or anything like that, but, I mean, like, as far as good writing goes, it was impressive.
No, that's true. And it makes me feel old. Just like this last story, and I just, you know, I threw it in there to make us all feel old.
Thank you.
So the original Matrix movie will be re-released in theaters to celebrate its 20th anniversary. Jesus. I read that and I'm like, wait, what?
I feel like my whole life has been in bullet time now.
So yeah, Keanu Reeves needs another paycheck anyway, so that's fine.
Let's keep him happy and healthy and like, and just still awesome. As long as they don't bring back the two sequels, like
I don't think they'll do that.
As a standalone film.
What sequels? What are you talking about?
There you go.
That is definitely one of those, like, the first movie set up such great ideas that were not delivered on in the sequels, you know?
My favorite theory about what the second movie was going to do towards the end of it, when he was outside the Nebuchadnezzar and he held up his hand and he stopped the probes, uh-huh, was that they had been doing this thing with the one, like reading the one, yes, over and over again so much that he had gained power in the real world. But of course they didn't do that.
No.
They
Well, because he had to be Jesus. They had to be, yes, beat that metaphor to death. In the first one, it's actually subtle and pretty good. By the third one, it's like, I get it. He's on a giant cross. Like, yes. Man, The Matrix is really good. Like, that first movie, that's a really good movie. Like, yeah. And it's became so influential for science fiction for the better part of a generation.
Yeah.
And you can watch it over and over again.
You could.
It's just fun to watch. Yeah.
I think I watched that movie in college, like, man, probably at least once a month. Like, but I'm not going to lie, the sequels kind of soured me on it.
Yep. That's basically for everybody. And again, what sequels are you talking about? Because I don't know what you're talking
and
about.
And that was one of the first movies I went to the theater multiple times to see. You know, and it was just like, wow, this is so different. This is going to change everything. And then...
Well, it did kind of. I mean, like, there was a ton of influence.
Yeah. Man.
Like, when you look at the sci-fi films from the early aughts, and they all reek of The Matrix. Like, how many dudes are walking around in leather trench coats? Or, and like...
And the bullet time thing.
The bullet time, man. Bullet time was everywhere. There's a movie called Equilibrium, which is a pretty good little cheapy sci-fi film with Christian Bale. That's a total Matrix. And that's totally, like, it's like the dude saw a Matrix and was like, yep, I want to make this movie, but different. Like, I don't know, man. It's a good flick.
Yeah. And it's only one. There's no sequels. Gotta make John happy.
Yeah.
It's so weird with the Wachowskis. It's like they've been chasing that film the whole rest of their careers. Like, they peaked so early. And they've had good movies, but it's just like nothing quite on the level of The Matrix. It's like, it's almost like Wells. Like, Wells had such a phenomenal film with Citizen Kane right out of the gate, mm-hmm, that he made good movies afterwards, but nothing ever quite hit that Kane level again.
Yeah. I think you can say, I kind of feel like you can say the same thing about M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's a good call, too.
Yep. He.
I think it's a case of, you come out there and you hit a home run your first at bat, and then everybody thinks you know what you're doing. So, like, everyone needs an editor, right? It's Jonathan.
Exactly, yeah.
We have like great ideas, but you need an outside force that someone you can respect that'll go, hey, man, you know, this doesn't really work. And you can, and as a creative, you gotta go, yeah, man, you're right. And you get a lot of success early on, and people stop telling that to you. You know, they just think you know what you're doing. Or you become, I know what I'm doing, and I'm not listening to anybody else.
Yeah.
Because it's almost a trope that it's happened so frequently. You know, because, I mean, like, someone should have told the Wachowskis, hey, man, this is dumb.
Yes.
You know, same with M. Night Shyamalan. It's like, all right, like, Signs is really good. And then they put the last 10 minutes on. That kind of throws away the whole rest of the movie. And, like, The Happening, it's like,
really,
the fucking trees. The fucking trees are the villain. I was ready to walk out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, man. Well, and then there was, but then there was Unbreakable.
Unbreakable is good. It just wasn't the hit that The Sixth Sense was. I think Unbreakable might actually be a better movie, to be honest with you. But it wasn't like the thriller. Like, the problem with Sixth Sense is it set him up to be the next Hitchcock. And then I think he constantly had to keep trying to out-Hitchcock himself. Like, he had to keep building on these twists.
Right.
And eventually you twist yourself up in a knot.
Yes. And that is not good.
No. The Village sucked too.
Oh my God. Don't even get me started on that.
Lady in the Water was bad. Terrible. Yeah. Hey, did you see John, you like anime. Do you like Avatar? Like Avatar, The Last Airbender?
Oh yeah. No, God. That's basically a classic. It's a work of art.
How bad was the movie in comparison?
Oh God. That's like taking a shit on a work of art. That was the worst. Oh, that's, you know,
we've got our episode title, by the way.
I don't think that's appropriate.
Shitting on art?
Shit in a work of art. It's not going to happen. I was kidding, but.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
It's a slow episode, guys. I like that we can just bullshit sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well,
it's like we're in the post-Comic-Con hangover. Like, everyone kind of, like, threw out their best, their, like, guns blazing, and now there's nothing to talk about.
No, there's not. And that's the thing, too, right? Because, like, when Marvel didn't go to San Diego, they made announcements afterwards, you know? Bastards. All right. Well, I think there is where we'll put the pin in it for this week. And, unless you guys have anything else you want to add?
I can't stretch this out any further.
Oh, okay.
Neither can I.
Well, then on that note, boys and girls, as always, thanks for listening, and don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.